Welcome to First Steps to Al-Anon Recovery from Al-Anon Family Groups. This is a series of podcasts to discuss some common concerns for people who have been affected by someone else's drinking. Today we have Maggie, Corey, Jack, and Jane with us. Al-Anon's primary purpose is to help families and friends of people who have a drinking problem. Today we're going to talk with people whose lives or children have been in danger because of someone else's drinking. Maggie, what kind of danger have you experienced because of someone else's drinking?
Well, ending up on the wrong side of the highway, going home from a party, of course, sitting in the passenger seat. And it was a very frightening experience. And it was a Christmas party we came home from, and I realized there were a lot of drinks that were consumed, and by then I knew the pattern, the way my husband was drinking, but it was so frightening. Luckily, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and there wasn't very much traffic. But that made me seek help, and I didn't know anything about Al-Anon at that time, so I asked my lawyer what I could do to avoid the repetition of this drunk driving. It is. I learned much later that people driving drunk and getting caught or being noticed, this is not the first time that it's happened, at least 5 times before that. That's all I have at the moment.
Thank you very much, Maggie. Corey, have you or your children been exposed to danger because of someone else's drinking?
I don't have children, but I can relate to what Maggie was saying about being terrified. When I was involved with a gentleman whose drinking bothered me, I don't know whether he was an alcoholic or not, but I know that his drinking bothered me. Although I'm a rather intelligent woman, it never occurred to me to not explain to him why his drinking was a problem when he was not drinking. I always explained to him why his drinking was a problem when he was drinking. Mm-hmm. And what happened in those circumstances is he would get very angry. And he never physically hit me, but he would throw things towards me. There were a lot of holes in the wall from where he'd either slammed the door into the wall or slammed his fist into the wall. And I spent a lot of time absolutely terrified. I would like to say that I was as quick as Maggie and got myself to a meeting and got help, but I didn't. And what ended up happening for me was I ended up leaving that relationship. I left the first relationship without realizing that all of my fear came about as the result of how I was dealing with this man and his drinking. And I found myself another man who happened to be a raging alcoholic when I met him. And I didn't put two and two together until I got to Al-Anon. And I got to Al-Anon on my 2-month wedding anniversary when my husband said, I don't think I can quit drinking by myself. And when I came to Al-Anon, I did not come because I thought that there was anything wrong with me. I came to be a loving and supportive wife to him. And what happened when I got here was I started learning things like Maggie said about learning how I had been affected by somebody else's drinking. And what I learned was that I had been in a lot of danger in the first relationship, physical danger in the first relationship, but I had also been in a lot of emotional danger and a lot of financial danger, because my response to somebody else's drinking is to think it's about me. I didn't know anything about alcoholism being a disease. I didn't know anything about how I had been affected by somebody else's drinking. When I came to Al-Anon after I had been married, I was going to bed at 5 o'clock every evening, and I would have told you it was the stress of my job. Since I have been in Al-Anon and I have come to meetings and I have done what was suggested for me to do in Al-Anon, I don't go to bed at 5 o'clock every night with migraine headaches anymore. And I know for me that those headaches and that stress was a direct physical danger caused by somebody else's drinking. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to say that today I don't live in fear anymore. I don't live in terror. I don't live in any sort of emotional or physical abuse. Even if my husband and I argue, I've learned in Al-Anon how to communicate with him so that I don't get into a situation that can be exacerbated and go into where I might feel afraid for my physical, emotional safety. Al-Anon has given me the ability to focus on myself, to stand up for myself without being aggressive, to learn how to speak to other people and communicate with other people. And it's really allowed me to get to know myself and to learn how to take care of myself. And as a result of that, I can have a good day regardless of what's going on around me. And it's been a while since I have felt that kind of physical or emotional danger. And I have tools today to know how I can avoid putting myself in those situations. And I know how to get myself out of those situations in a healthy way. And I credit Al-Anon for doing that for me. And I didn't know when I got here that that's what Al-Anon was going to teach me, but I'm so grateful it did. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing your experience with us, Corey. Jack, can you relate to Maggie or Corey's dangerous experiences?
Yeah, I think I can. Maggie's experience, at least at one point, talked about the parties. And I know when I was growing up, my parents would have wild parties on the weekends, and I would be in my bedroom, and I could hear them yelling and screaming. It was something that must subconsciously frighten me. And whenever we went to a relative's house, it seemed like we only went to the relatives' houses of the ones that drank, and there would be parties again, and everybody would get drunk. And I, by the time I had reached high school, I pretty much had shut down and didn't want to talk to anybody or relate to anybody. And I think the alcoholism threatened me and my ability to communicate, to relate to other people. It wasn't that I couldn't do that on a level where I could function on the job, because I knew what was expected, and I also knew and learned how to control situations. And this ability to cope was great, but it became a problem, because when I got married the first time, I know I was trying to control the marriage, and I was trying to communicate the best I could, but it just didn't work for me. And my wife was not an alcoholic, but she did leave me. It's because of my behavior was, and I see it now, that I had been affected by alcoholism in my family, and I had learned how to behave in certain ways. And when I ran into somebody that was normal, it was hard to function, because mm-hmm. I just was not familiar with normal people. So I got married again, and this time it seemed to work, but it wasn't long that things became difficult, and alcoholism creeped in again. And I was, 45 years old, and I had a couple children, And I got to the point where I couldn't cope. And I went to a psychiatrist. And the first, when I told him what my problem was, that the people in my life, in my family, were drinking and I couldn't control it. I told him what my problem was. I said, I can't control my family. They just continue to drink no matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't. I'm losing the battle. And he said, you need Al-Anon.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there's the phone book. He said, look it up and you'll find out where the meetings are.
Oh.
I think his point was that, you know, if I wanted it, it was there, but I had to want it badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was good psychology because I was desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And I found an Al-Anon group that I could relate to, and they nurtured me for weeks, for months, and I'll be forever grateful because my whole life changed and took another course. And I began to learn and accept some of the tools and some of the concepts, especially that alcoholism is a disease, and that the way that I could keep my sanity would be to detach from the person or from the problem and not from the person. And so when I tried that, it worked. And as soon as something like that worked, I just wanted more, and it gave me hope.
That's great.
And that's how I got into Al-Anon, and that I'm be forever grateful.
Thanks, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Jane, is there anything you'd like to add to this discussion about dangerous situations because of someone else's drinking?
The first danger that came when with the drinking situation was financial. We owned a farm, and the alcoholic in my life I was married to decided that he wasn't going to hold down his full-time job that he had off the farm. He was going to only farm. And I thought, this is not going to be good. He doesn't make enough money to pay the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got a job to help out because it was his dream to farm. But in 3 years, we went from a $50,000 mortgage to a $185,000 mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
We almost lost everything. We came within an ace of losing home, farm, everything we ever had. And that was frightening to me because what they call an army brat. Was raised on military bases all over the country. And this was the home that I was going to stay in. They would carry me out in my coffin. I was not going to move again. And I was terrified I was going to leave it. I was going to lose it. I was going to Al-Anon meetings, and not often enough, and not really, shall we say, taking part in the meetings. I would sit in the back and listen and then get up and leave. I wasn't part of the meeting. And that was when I decided I'd better get into the meetings and start paying attention and start working, doing what they suggested I do. And I'm so grateful I did. We had a pair of adolescent sons, and one of whom now has 20 years of sobriety. He did qualify for Alcoholics Anonymous about the same time he qualified for a driver's license. He didn't get there right away, but he finally did.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went I discovered that my boys and their father, of course, they were going. They used to go hunting in the winter, and they go fox hunting and had a wonderful time. And I discovered, accidentally, that they would stand around with the rest of the boys when they came in from hunting at this other chap's place, and they'd have a few drinks. Then the three of them would decide which one had had the least to drink, and that one was sober enough to drive home. None of them would have qualified for sober.
Mm-hmm.
When I learned that, how do I stop it? I couldn't stop it. I didn't know what to do, and I'm so grateful I had a program in Al-Anon to tell me what I needed to do for me to let go of that and just turn it over and go on with my own life and pray that things would work out the way they should, and that my sons would survive this effort. They stopped doing it long before their father did. They realized how foolish it was before they were very old, and they stopped the drinking and driving. Their father hasn't yet. As far as I know, I divorced him finally for other reasons than alcoholism. But the boys decided it was a dangerous thing to do after they visited a couple of ditches on the way home, and they didn't drink and drive anymore with him. I was very grateful for that. I was also grateful that I could keep my mouth shut and not nag at them. And Al-Anon taught me how to do that, because I know that if you nag at an adolescent, you're going to get them doing exactly what you tell them not to do. It doesn't matter what it is you don't want them to do. If you nag, he'll do it. When I came to Al-Anon, I was nobody. I didn't know who I was. I was a married woman with two kids. I had a husband that drank too much and made a lot of money, but he drank most of it. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I counted. I didn't know where I stood. I was nobody. Having gone to meetings for a while, I learned that I am a person. I'm an important person. I'm one of God's children, and God doesn't make junk, so I'm an important and good person. I learned how to stand up and count for myself. I learned how to teach my children things about looking after themselves and taking responsibility for their behavior, something that I learned in Al-Anon, how to say, it's my fault, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. And I taught my children to do this. And it's made relationships for them much easier in their lifetime, too. It's made relationships much easier for me to be able to acknowledge what I'm responsible for and do my best to make things right and not to take responsibility for someone else's behavior. I'm very grateful that I learned that I don't have to take responsibility for anybody else's behavior but my own. That was the most important thing I learned. And because I learned that, I've gone forward in my life. I continue to go to Al-Anon because I find it's very useful to get along with anybody. It's very useful for me to go in order to cope with life on life's terms day after day. You don't have to be dealing with an alcoholic to encounter some pretty strange behavior in some people. And this program helps me to accept what's going on and know what's my responsibilities and not to take things on that aren't mine. That I'm grateful for.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this discussion about dangerous situations due to someone else's drinking. You're invited to join this discussion by leaving a personal comment at alanonfamilygroups.org. Under the topic, just click on comment. In Al-Anon Family Groups, we share our experience, strength, and hope so we can make up our own minds about what is happening in our lives and what we might want to do about it. You're welcome to join us for any of the First Steps to Al-Anon Recovery podcasts from Al-Anon Family Groups. You're also welcome to join us for a face-to-face meeting of Al-Anon Family Groups in your own community. Just click on how to locate a meeting, or you may call toll-free during business hours Eastern Time 1-888-4-Al-Anon to find an Al-Anon meeting near you. Thank you for listening to First Steps to Al-Anon Recovery from Al-Anon Family Groups.